But if I can allow myself to be pruned and a branch taken off and a brand new branch that is altogether different from my variety, I might just be useful. And where do we go for those branches? But we go through the Word. But I'm real excited for this breakout. This particular discipline has, I would say, of all disciplines, changed my life the most. And so I'm excited to share it with you. And it was shared with me, and I can't even remember when, a long time ago. But you can't really see the image here very well, but there's an apple. And this is a theme that I am going to be talking about. We're going to be talking about engrafting the Word. Just to start with some scripture, really love this, 2 Timothy 3, verse 16. You know this verse, but every scripture is inspired by God, useful for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the person dedicated to God may be capable and equipped for every good work. So much in that verse. We know that verse. So much there. But I just want to point out a few words. I did pull this out of the NET translation because I really liked this word that they used, and that is training. I really loved that. And because that really fits what we're talking about here with discipleship. My wife is training for a half marathon. And that's what we do. That's what we do in the school of Christ. We train. But it's not all that different than what Jesus did. We read in the scriptures that he learned by his suffering, right? He learned obedience, I think we read. He learned obedience by the things that he suffered. And we see Christ living. Jesus knew how to live in his body, which I think is a really, really profound concept. Jesus knew how to live in his body. He was God incarnate. He had created man. So he knew a thing or two about the body. And he embodied it, lived it. And really, we just kind of learned from it. It's like, man, what did Jesus do? You know, like, how did he pull that off? And like, what did he do in the low-stakes moments to get him ready for that high-stake moment, you know? And so I love that training part, training in righteousness. Yes, we are righteous by Christ immediately, beautifully, and yet there's training in righteousness. Isn't it wonderful? That's the way the Bible is. It's beautiful. Every scripture, I love that too, right? How inclusive that is. Every scripture is inspired by God, useful for these things, teaching, reproof, correction, training in righteousness. That, and this would be the end. So all of this is the means to this end, that every person dedicated to God may be capable and equipped to every good work. Imagine that equipment. I mean, just breathe that in. Don't reject it. This is something I see with students all the time in the classroom. They come in and they defeat themselves. Like, I can't do that. Or, oh, this syllabus looks too challenging. This syllabus, when's the drop date, right? That's what's the drop date here? Because I'm looking at the syllabus, and it instead of looking at the syllabus and being like, whoa, man, they think they can produce that in me? That's what God wants to do. Equip us to every good work. So anyway, let's now look. This is the next passage is really the core passage that we're going to kind of use as a template, okay? And it is in James. James chapter 1. Wherefore, and this one I'm using the King James Version because I love a really good word that it used. I'm going to pull that one out. Wherefore, laying apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. We see this wonderful arc. I just want to point out the wonderful shape that this has. We start at the top with filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness. That's interesting language, right? But it really does a good job of pointing the naughtiness, right? All the way down here to this not a forgetful, being blessed, right? So we go from that to this. And how is that done? And this is the word that I really love in the King James, is engrafted. Engrafted. Engrafted is a term. How many of you are familiar with the process of engrafting? Are you? Okay, we're going to watch a 4-minute video, which I really love. I think this is really cool. And I am a plant guy. I do enjoy gardening. I enjoy that type of thing. But man, this guy on this video takes it to another level. Check it out. Now, what you should be thinking about, right, is he's going to be talking about engrafting in botany. I want you to be thinking about what this means to us spiritually. So what should you be thinking? What should you be smelling? What should you be experiencing? I want you to experience the jubilation of this particular presenter. I want you to experience the creativity, the hope, the enjoyment. Okay? Here we go.
Including peaches, plums, apricots, nectarines, cherries, and almonds. The idea came from just sort of a fascination with the process of grafting. When I'd seen it done as a child, it was Dr. Seuss and Frankenstein and just about everything fantastic. I started traveling around Central New York and New York State to look for different varieties of stone fruit. Eventually, I was able to find these different heirloom and antique varieties, but they are very rare, so I would bring them back here to my nursery, graft them onto a tree so that I could continue to use them. Now I have a huge collection of plums and apricots. Through the project, I've worked with a lot of growers, and at first they didn't understand it because they were, why would you want to have a tree with that many different fruit on it? You would have to go back over and over to continue to harvest all the fruit. The project is, for me, always an art project. I was really interested in the idea of a hoax in terms of, you know, a hoax transforms reality. Part of the idea for the Tree of 40 Fruit was to plant them in locations that people would sort of stumble upon. Once they happened upon one of these trees, they would start to question, why are the leaves shaped differently? Why are they different colors? And then in summer, when you would see all of these different fruit growing on them, and of course in spring when they blossom in different colors. It is an artwork. When I first started, I just sort of grafted the branches on. So each variety blossoms at a slightly different time. And I had a tree that blossomed all on one side but looked dead on the other. From that point on, I created a timeline of when all of these different varieties blossom in relationship to each other, so I could essentially sculpt how the tree would blossom. For each of the trees, I keep a map, essentially, or a diagram of the tree. Yeah, it takes a really long time. I start a tree and I let it grow for about 3 years. And at that point I can come in and start to graft onto those branches. Those 4 branches become 8. The next year, 8 becomes 16, 16 becomes 32. It's essentially like an 8 to 9 year process. Essentially what you're doing with this clear plastic is you're creating a greenhouse around the graft. And so what it'll do is all that humidity helps the graft heal in. The first tree was planted in 2011, and it has the 40 varieties, but I anticipate it'll be about 3 or 4 years before it's at that peak, and then peak blossom. Unlike any other artworks that I've made, these things continuously evolve. I think one of the reasons why I've been able to keep it going for so long is that every year it's something new. And when you come out here and the trees are all in blossom, it's really kind of an amazing experience. Plus you get fruit all summer.
Isn't that amazing? One tree, 40 different kinds of fruit. One tree, 40 different kinds of fruit. All because of engrafting. So in short, what's engrafting? Engrafting is taking an existing tree and saying, I don't want this branch. Clip. I want this one. Engraft. And then that branch bears fruit of itself, separate from the main stem. I don't want this one. Clip. And engrafting it on. I bear crab apples. That's what I bear. I am a crab apple tree, okay? Make a pie of my fruit and you'll have a bellyache. I'm really good for nothing. And as much as I try to be a different kind of fruit tree, just every season I come back as a crab apple tree. I try really hard. I'm going to do it different next time. I'm going to push out a different fruit next time. I know I should. But I'm a crabapple tree. But if I can allow myself to be pruned and a branch taken off and a brand new branch that is altogether different from my variety, I might just be useful. And where do we go for those branches? But we go through the Word. Engrafting the Word is simply this activity done through the Word, whereby we find Scripture bearing the fruit that I want to bear. It's like, oh my goodness. Oh, I wish I was that way. I wish I was that way. And so why not engraft it? Why not engraft it? Let's see, how do I advance? I love this picture. That is the picture of this of a tree that he's grafted. This actually has helped me make sense of what it means to have the fruit of the Spirit. Aren't we as believers actually called to be a multi-fruit-bearing tree? We are, which is exciting. And it's the fruit of the Spirit. It's not the fruit of Matt. It's not, because he knows. I'm like a crabapple tree. It's like, whatever you do, God's like, whatever you do down there, don't let Matt bear fruit. Don't let him blossom. Don't let him get to that point. Every time he shoots one of his own, it's bad. So let's... The engrafting effort is creative, life-giving, optimistic, and beautiful. Just the effort itself. Did those words, does that resonate with the speaker of the video? Like, do you think he would put those words down there? Isn't that neat? What were elements of the, let's just pause and reflect. I'd love to hear your reflection on that video. What were elements, now that I've given you kind of the metaphor, what's exciting about what you just saw in light of the metaphor? Yes, yeah, tons of fruit. He said, no. He says this takes a long time, 9 years to get where we're going. We expect in others and we expect in ourselves change, like in a moment. Like, I need to be different. I need to be different yesterday and certainly today. This man has great deal of patience with what's going on here. But he's got to engage in the process. Good. Any other comments on the video that strike at some of those words? Yeah. Isn't that awesome? I love that. Like, that was something he said, I'm so excited about this being on a university campus. And somebody would be like, did you notice this leaf is different than that leaf on this tree? How in the world? That's exactly what Paul was saying. I am so excited to bring about maturity in believers so that we can proclaim Christ. Because it's the oddest thing around to have Jesus walking around. It's the oddest, oddest thing. Like, Jesus coming out in people is really, really odd. And people are going to be like, what in the world? How you gotta explain to me something here, because what I'm seeing doesn't match the way I understand trees to be. Especially when they see I'm a crab apple. If you know your trees, you're like, dude, you're a crabapple tree. What's with the fruit? Yeah, let me tell you about that. Love to tell you about that. I don't have that tree picture up here, but can the stem brag about the beautiful tree? Can the stem be like, man, look at me, I'm amazing, aren't I? They can't, because he's like, no, first off, you're not too excited about me. You're excited about what's up there, and that ain't me. And number two, by nature of what you're excited about meant that I got lopped off. I got absolutely cut off. I mean, the whole process says to everybody, you're not very good. We need to replace all of that. Replaced parts is who we are, right? But then we bear the fruit. The tree bears the fruit of the engrafted. And it allows us then to testify of the fruit that we have in complete humble terms. I have learned to be this way. I have learned to be this way. What you're seeing is an engrafted branch. It's not me. I've been cut off. I really love the beauty here. I love it that he's an art form. This is like a living art form. Do you catch the dreaminess of him? He's got those pages with it's all marked up, and he's like, I've got a map of this. This is like a living art form, you know, where he's like, wow, like, man, this thing could, oh, whoa, what if we did it this way? What if we did it that way? What if we, oh, man, this is so exciting. And so there was, but at the end, we have beautiful. I love in Ecclesiastes 3, God makes all things beautiful in his time. Isn't that a beautiful thing? God makes all things beautiful. Beauty is God's thumbprint. Satan can't do beauty. Satan does ugly pretty well. Okay? Find a dead carcass and you'll see ugly. That's what Satan does. What God does is living life beauty. That's what he does. And I think this illustrates what beauty looks like, and it illustrates what beauty looks like in us as well. What God is creating is an artifact of beauty, not just use. God like does them both. God does useful things, and he makes them beautiful also, which is really, really cool. Anyway, totally optimistic, right? Which was our number one mindset of a student. Optimistic. Don't leave here today feeling beat up or like, oh, I need to do this. Or what you leave today is being like, shoot, that's exciting. Ah, I wonder if I could produce this thing, right? Life-giving creative. So here's the process. Okay, the process follows, and I've got a handout that will have these on there, follows James 1, okay? So first there's a humbling. It always starts with a humbling. Just ask the crabapple tree, right? It's like snipped down to a stem. That is, and that's what we see. Lay apart all filthiness and naughtiness, right? That's what James says. Lay apart. Snip. Then there's a selection of scripture. What's he do? He goes over to the cooler and he rummages through. He's like, this one, right? This is it. Selects the scripture. Receive with meekness the engrafted word. We receive it. What's that reception look like? Memorize and think over scripture. Look into the perfect law of liberty and continue therein. There is a memorization, a thinking on scripture. Now, I don't mean to be black and white with memorization. I don't mean to lose some of you with that and to say, oh, I'm terrible at memorizing. I can't memorize. No, stick with me. The idea of memorization in this sense is getting to the point where you can take the scripture with you and it doesn't have to be open in front of you. That's what you're going after. You're not going after word for word or able. What you're going after is being able to take it with you. You need to be able to go to sleep thinking about it. You need to be able to drive in your car thinking about it. You need to be able to take a shower and think about that scripture. That's what we're after. And if it's memorization, that's great. But you need to be able to get to the point where you think about it. If we only think about the scripture when it's open in front of us, then that's going to be between 7 and 7:30 in the morning, wherever, whenever that is, right? And it's simply not going to be enough. Then we meditate on the scripture, being not a forgetful hearer. And this really is a continuation of that. Meditating on the scripture, rolling the scripture over and over in your mind, right? Rolling it over and over in your mind. It now becomes a fabric of my thoughts and of my heart. I personalize it. And I'll give you a few more things. Kind of helps with that. Meditate. And then we act. And there's an action. It bears itself out. Be a doer of the word. That's what James says. So I'm just following that James passage. Lay apart the filthiness. Receive with meekness the engrafted. Look into the perfect law of liberty and continue. That's huge. Continue. Don't be a forgetful hearer, but continue. And then be a doer of the word. Action. And then finally bring forth the fruit. Being blessed in his deed. So here's a template. this template just kind of walks through those things and puts them into these six blanks here. So looking at the very top one, and it's those same things that are listed up here in the overhead, but humble yourself. So in the blank, there's a place where we can write out a confession, for example, a confession of need. And then the next one, selecting the scripture, what passage do we wish to engraft? Down there, memorize and think over. So there's some prompts for you to help what that looks like. Outline the passage for retention, for example. Who is the author and the audience? How is the scripture completed in Christ? Cross-references, good and bad biblical examples of the scripture. This is intended simply to help get the engine going. Certainly, this is not a complete list. It's just a help. Let me turn it over. Meditation, personalizing the passage and praying it to God, musing on scripture, emphasizing different words, and what actions will be in step with this fruit in my life, and then desired fruit. Would you like to see an example? Okay. Here's an example. Okay, this first example is an example of a let's read the you want to see the crab apple tree? We just read the humble part. Ready? All right. I am very quick to judge people. I know it comes out of a place of pride. Before I listen, I form conclusions. My prejudgment is consistently negative. In these moments, I overapproximate my wisdom. I think more highly of myself than I do of the other person. It's like I'm sizing up people, finding fault, so that I appear more grand in my own estimation. Pretty raw? Does it make sense? That's where it starts. So then what happens is we take this and say, I'm not altogether happy about this. I know Jesus calls me into something different. And I know I'm not supposed to judge people. We'll try that. We'll see if that works. Oh, just did it again. Just saw somebody walk through the door and made a judgment. You know, I don't know. How does change work for you all, right? It just doesn't work like that. It's just like, I just do it. I do it again. Because I'm a crabapple tree. I can hate the crabapples all I want, but that's what I do. So, okay, I've got a problem with judgment. I think the Bible does speak to this. And let's go. Now we go for a search. We're searching for scripture. And this might mean us pulling out concordances. This might mean us doing, you know, even Google search stuff. Pretty nice on the Bible anymore. Where does the Bible talk about judging people? And it's going to blow up, right? It's not that hard anymore to come up with good passages. These are three that were very, very important to me. Matthew 7, 1 through 5, Sermon on the Mount. Romans 2, 1 through 4. And James 4, 11 through 12. Do you remember, so the Sermon on the Mount is, judge not that you be not judged, for with what judgment you judge, you shall be judged, with what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you again. Pull out the beam out of your own eye before you pull the speck out of another person's eye. You're right, you recall that, right? So that's it. Romans 2 is, who art thou that judgest another and doest the same things, right? And then it goes on to say, do you despise the mercies of God, which calls people to repentance? You know, so that's what that one. And then in the James 4:11 through 12 talks about don't speak evil of one another and judge one another, for you are not the lawgiver. There's one lawgiver, and you're not it. So those are the three passages. I was like, you know what? It'd be really good if this was like the fruit. Like, if I bore that fruit, that would be sure, that would be nice. That's, I think, was what Jesus wants. So we select the scripture. And this could just could be us privately. This could be us connecting with people, saying, hey, brother, sister, I am looking for this fruit. I really want to bear this fruit. And I want some scripture for this fruit. You know, we engage with people. I love it. Try to get converts in Bloomington to help me, help them find scripture. They don't take me up on this thing. But I dream of the day when we can actually do this in an engagement type of thing. But it requires a mind shift for us to be thoughtful about ourselves and to think of the Word of God as that cooler full of stems, branches. You know what I mean? And to approach it and seek out fruit. Okay, what's the next one? I'm at the bottom of that. Memorize and think over Scripture. It's important to know those Scripture. Do you see those Scripture again? Whether you have them memorized word for word is not as important as you being able to go with that and muse on it while you're driving to school to pick up the kids. Okay? It needs to get beyond just the words on the page when it's in front of me. Right? Because I've got a deep-seated problem. And deep-seated problems have probably occurred. I've grown into this. I grew into this in 4 decades. This isn't going away soon. I need to continue in it. So here's some of the things. Again, nothing grand here, but you can just see some notes. Jesus, that was a Sermon on the Mount to his disciples. The Romans, that was written by Paul to the church. James was written by James. Let's look at the context. The context of the Matthew was a new way of thinking. The context of Romans was the gospel meets this need, actually. He's presenting the gospel in Romans 1 through 8, right? And in chapter 2, he's talking about this. This has got this problem that I have finds its answer in actually what Paul's talking about. And then in James, he's really talking about Christ-like humility. Okay, that's good to know. You know what? By working the scripture over, I came to understand in the Matthew verse that I shouldn't judge because I'm not good at it. I'm not good at it. It's like pulling up at a four-way stop, and I was there first. I knew I was there first. I'm positive I was there first, but that guy just went. Right? You ever been there? That guy just went. He's selfish. I know he's selfish. What Matthew taught me is that I'm not very good at this, because what I didn't see is his wife laid down in the back seat about ready to have a baby. I'm just not very good at this. Sorry, I'm not very good at knowing who's selfish, even at a four-way stop when I was there clearly first. Okay, in Romans taught me, don't judge because I will condemn myself. Like, that's just the nature of it. You know what I just do? Hey, that guy's selfish. Matt, have you ever gone first at a four-way stop when you got there second? Yes. Well, you're calling yourself selfish. Oh, yeah, I guess that's the way it works. Right? Every time we do it. Every time I say, that person's proud, I'm basically saying, Matt, you're proud. Whenever I say, that person, whatever, I just said it to myself. That's the way it works. Okay, Romans helped me understand that. James tells me, don't judge because I don't have the authority. It's like, dude, you're not the policeman. You know, you can't pull that guy over and administer whatever you think needs to be administered because you're not the policeman. And we totally get this as parents, right? Whenever our kids start to discipline each other, like, you're not as soon as I need another dad around here, I'll come call for you, you know? I mean, we do this, all right? We you know. They all the time, and we do that all the time. Anyway, all of that to say, these are types of musings that come out of thinking about the word. Go ahead and turn it over. Meditation. Here's what meditation could look like. Meditation in Matthew 7. Judge not. I will be judged with the same scrutiny I judge others. Help me see my beam and remove it so I can discern others with grace and truth. Yeah, you see the personal nature of it? It just brings it personal. Romans 2, I am inexcusable because I am guilty too. Cure my prejudice by my love for your rich goodness, forbearance, and long-suffering. A huge one, a very convicting point in that Romans 1 is that we despise the richness of God by our judgment. That was like really, really convicting to me. Whenever I judge people, I despise the riches of God. Whether I say, man, that's so sinful, can't believe, so immoral, oh my goodness, so lost, so gross. I'm despising the mercy of God who draws people to repentance. That's convicting. James 4, I am not the lawgiver, God is. I am a doer of his law, not the administrator of it. Speak not evil of people. Okay. And then act. I will listen instead of speak. I will ask questions instead of conclude. I will have my pride confronted instead of my ego stroked. I will act out of a place of humility instead of pride. I will look more favorably on people, giving the benefit of the doubt. In this way, I will love mercy. And then finally, the desired fruit. More like Christ, I will see people according to truth and grace. It may take me longer, as Christ was able to see at a glance. However, I will have the wisdom of pause, listen, learn, and discern, stemming from a place of love rather than judgment, out of a place of pride. So that's maybe an example to see something full circle. You see what I'm saying? Where we break each one, you can kind of see the nuances. I'll take a question maybe at this point about anything because really want this to be understood to the point where I could do that. So anything worth mentioning, question, comment, or... Yes.
When you do what you said you do when you get frustrated, could you refer us to that?
Yeah.
But so then the word comes to your mind.
Yeah.
Right now that you've been grafted that word.
Yes. This doesn't mean that I do this perfectly at all, but I don't get away with it ever. I don't ever get away with it. And I know that I need to revisit. I know where I need to revisit when it starts to creep up. And then you can take no credit. You get take no credit with like, man, that was a godly thought I just thought right there. That was amazing. It's like, it's just so not me. Because in this process, you really, really know yourself. My goodness, you know yourself very well. I currently am trying to engraft Romans 6 because of the situation in my life. I'm like, man, I ought to be beyond this. Well, engraft Romans 6, why don't you? Okay. So I'm reviewing that. I'm trying to memorize it. I'm trying to bring Romans 6 off the page and into my head so that I can review Romans 6 anywhere. Sometimes engrafting can go as quick as an afternoon. It can be that quick. And sometimes it's as long as a decade. And I don't mean that to be discouraging. I just mean to be real. Just like his project was 9 years long. That's the nature of it. That's the nature of it. Okay. Another good question. Any other? There's another example that I won't walk through, but I tried to vary it up a little bit. And it's about thinking about others. Philippians 2, 3 through 5 is excellent on thinking about others. And I walk through that example as well. So that's all I have. So I don't know.
Matt, I was thinking about this, including watching the video, thinking about who's the church as well.
Yeah.
That this applies, I mean, beautifully, how you apply this to individual life, but
yeah.
The church as well.
Yeah, for sure.
Wrapping this all together in one tree.
Yes.
And bearing lots of different fruit.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. Oh, yeah. Yep. Yep.
In fact, we have an additional copy. I could have this. Do you find it to my wife?
Of this one here?
Yeah.
Yeah. And we'll have everything online, too. You'll be able to pull it off, but yeah, go ahead. But yes, and there are times where we write it down, and there have been times I use this worksheet, and I mean, just like those, you know, and written them out. Sometimes passages are, you know, too long. You're not going to cram in there what you're thinking about, right, necessarily. But once you do it enough, you kind of know the process, and so you know. But for a young believer, too, I think it can be a helpful tool to help the process. Yeah.
So if you were to tell us how to memorize scripture in five easy points, you know, that's a process too, right? I mean, learning to memorize scripture, I mean, that whole...
I'll tell you this is how I do it. I was doing some memorization on Psalm 73. I'll read it on my voice, but I'll take it in parts. I'm repeating myself. I'm just trying to learn that verse. I do. I'm repeating myself. But here in a moment, I'll pause. Oh, I'm going to the next verse. You see what I'm saying? And so then in the car, I can listen to this. And I've paced it so that I can begin to, it's training wheels. And there's a pause. And now I'm going to go back and I'm getting into both. Okay, so anyway, enough of that. But that's one way that I would offer that. And that's just one of many ways, but I find it. And that's a very long process to read one verse, read that same verse again, read that same verse again slowly. And then pause, read that same verse in the second verse, read the second verse, read the second verse, read the first two verses, read the third verse, read the third verse, read the third verse, read verses 1, 2, 3, read verses 1, 2, 3. I mean, pretty soon you've spent a lot of time just doing that and getting it on the phone so that now you can play it and wherever you go and you can put it in your ear and you can practice. Mm. Oh, yeah. I've got one. I've got them. Yeah. Yeah. Yep. 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 You know, you take a discipline like memorization. I get it. Older you get, the harder it is. I know it's hard. It's hard to see that faculty leave, because I can already tell. And then you have to do a lot of review. That's a good example. I've asked young people before, who would like to have 50 verses that you could recall? You know, oh, everybody would. It's one a week, totally doable. You can do it. See you next year. It's like, I thought you were gonna. I thought it was. that's what we're talking about here. It's practice, and it's just, but it's not, it's not like hard, big steps. It's just little steps. Anyway, you've been great. Our time is up, so if you need to move along, that's fine. Thank you.